But how to live a life on purpose, or how to live a life on God's purpose. Okay? And so you're all there in Ephesians chapter 1, and I want to read the first 11 verses. Okay? Ephesians is in the New Testament. All right, so starting again at Ephesians, all right? And you all know that these names in the Bible are actual places, all right, where churches were. And so Ephesians is Ephesus, which is still a city in Turkey, and Ephesus, and a place that can be located on the map. And he says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. I'm wondering if he was writing to us, you know, to the church in Wilkett, if he would use the word saints. I don't know, knowing some of you as I do. But anyways, he'd probably say to the ain'ts in Wilkett, you know, not the saints, but the ain'ts. I'm just joking. So he says, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, praise to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Notice there, God has already blessed us with not just a lot of blessings, not just many blessings, but with every blessing, all the blessings. And now, as we read, Keep that in your mind's eye, in your understanding, to see now, because he enumerates the blessings that he has blessed us with as we continue to go on here, okay? He says, here's the first blessing, for he chose us. For he chose us. You know, I can remember growing up as a kid, and we'd pick teams. And it was like, I was rarely the kid who wasn't picked, but it's like, you take him. No, you take him. You know that kid? You know what I'm saying? It is like, when it comes to Jesus, when it comes to God choosing us, it was never that way with him. Never did he have second thoughts about choosing you. For he chose us. He chose us in him, and I love this phrase, before the creation of the world. That's an incredible statement. To be holy and blameless in his sight, in love. He predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. You catching the blessings here? Through his blood, forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and earth together under one head, even Christ. In him, we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with his purpose. He works out everything in conformity with his what? Purpose. Of his will, his purpose and his will, in order that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having believed. You were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. And then he says in verse 12, just to call your attention to it, because of all of that, he says, I'm praying for you. Because of all of that, I'm praying for you. Let's pray. Father, there it is, your word. Wow. Talk about a mouthful of stuff, Lord. That's a mouthful. And so now, God, as we look at a couple of things in particular, speak to us by your Holy Spirit, and Lord, stitch it into the fabric of our lives exactly what we need right now. In Christ's name I pray, amen and amen. And so, tailor-made. Some of you have heard that phrase, right? Tailor-made. And I think we all understand what the metaphor means when we say tailor-made, even though maybe, you know, not some of you have never had anything tailor-made. I've had some things tailor-made. And you understand when you have something tailor-made, wow, you know, the measurements are taken. I mean, it's a nice fit, right? It's a nice fit. And that's what I feel when I read this passage of Scripture. That's what I feel. I feel like God has you know, in the grand scheme of who he is, and one of the names perhaps you've never thought of him as, the great tailor in the sky, but he has tailored redemption for you and me. And that's what I feel in this, that he has fitted my life. He has fitted my life for his purpose. That's what I feel when I read this. Now, in, you know, these, when I read these verses in this chapter, it's like, ooh, even as I prayed, a mouthful, jammed packed. In the Greek language, when you read this passage of Scripture, it's like one run-on sentence. It's like there's no period. He just keeps on going on and on. And I wanted to read this passage in its entirety for you to feel that. These big words that are used there, predestined and redemption and forgiveness and every spiritual blessing and all those cosmic phrases before the creation of the world and in him, all of those things, it's just jam-packed. And it would take us a long time to unpack these first 11 verses. And I'm not going to do that this morning. But I do want to pull out one thing in particular from this passage of Scripture that's kind of summed up in verse 11. But it has to do with one spiritual blessing that he draws our attention to in this passage. And that spiritual blessing has to do with God's purpose for our lives. You catch it in these verses where he talks about purpose, where he talks about being predestined. And then in verse 11, he spells it out where he says that God chose you because according to, we've been chosen according to his plan. God has a plan for our lives. And he works out everything according to the conformity of that purpose, of his will for our lives. There it is. There it is. And I want to look at that for a moment. Now, to live life on purpose, okay, makes life go round. People usually die if they have no purpose in their lives. It's amazing, but there are statistics. I didn't look at them this morning for this message, but I'm just calling to mind now. But the statistics are high. For people who retire in their relatively good health, and after the retirement, it's not long before they die. No, you're welcome. You're welcome. But the idea being that when they retire, they live an aimless life. They think, oh, you know, a life of leisure, and they have no purpose in their lives, and it's like, down they go, and down they go. Okay? Now, that's right, but there are statistics out of that. You can Google it. But anyways, you know, purpose, and then to say, to live on purpose, to live on God's purpose for my life is best. Why is that best? Because his purpose for my life is tailor-made. It's tailor-made. It was tailor-made before the creation of the world. It was tailor-made for me. And And so when I think about how it is tailor-made, I have to speak about, and I can go back to creation, that when God created Adam and Eve, and I fall in that somewhere, you know, in 1955, December 31st, 1955, I fall in there where I say, God created me. And his creation wasn't the sort of thing where, you know, he sprinkled fairy dust in the air and, you know, said some magic words and presto changeo, there he is, Bob Rulowitz. No. When I look into the creation story and the way in which the scripture speaks about him, create him, Adam and Eve, I adopt that as to how he also created me. The scripture says, and it uses these words, he fashioned them with his hands. Do you understand how personal that is? And then it says he breathed into the breath of life. So that there is something so marvelous going on here. And so when I speak about God's purpose being tailor-made for my life, who best than he would know about that, would have that purpose for my life than he who created, who fashioned me? And when he made me, he spoke into me, into my life, purpose goes along with that creation. I see that in the creation story. And then, you know, we muck things up, right? And so having mucked things up, he sent Jesus. And in Jesus' redemption, he was fulfilling the will of God. And the purpose of God, why? So that he might bring us back to get on purpose with God's original intention for my life. And it doesn't stop there because there's been an impartation. And there's been an impartation of the Holy Spirit into our lives. Even as we read here, he has given us of his Spirit that is a down payment, so to speak, of what's yet to come. The Holy Spirit in our lives, man, that blows my mind. But I'm not speaking about everything in this passage. I'm just speaking about one thing, so I'll continue. On purpose. And the Holy Spirit is here in my life. And he makes me to feel that purpose of God for my life. How marvelous is that? So on all three accounts, by reason of creation, by reason of redemption, and by reason of impartation, there's a tailor-made purpose for my life and for years. Now, I end this year as I end every year, and that is with celebrating a birthday. And for me, for some reason or other, I feel like this is one of those birthdays that's a milestone for me, 62. I don't know why exactly. It's like throughout all of my life, going into my, 40s, some people, they talk about the 40s and there's blips and whatever, and, middle age. I never felt that in my 40s. Into my 50s, I never felt that. The closer I got to 60, I'm feeling it. Having hit 60, and many of you were at our tremendous celebration that our kids surprised us with, which was an awesome day. And there still wasn't this kind of feeling that I have today of having hit 62. I don't know why, and again, I'm not here to speak about that. But every year, I end the year celebrating a birthday. I like the card my daughter Christina got me this year, this little card here. It says, once upon a time, a very special person was born who was destined to change the world. Put my shoulders back. And then you open it up and it says, calm down, it's not you, it's Jesus. Yeah. Then it says, I think he'd want you to have a happy birthday, though. Isn't that cool? And so I say those things, and in some ways, you're listening in on some of my reflections for my life right now as I talk about purpose. Because as I have come to this moment in my life, and as we do celebrate the turning of years from one year to the next, and I think that's good for us to have these kinds of events, New Year's events in our lives. I'm not big on New Year's resolutions unless you keep them. And I think Mike's challenge was well put. Not a New Year's resolution, but a challenge, and a good challenge. I'm going for the Fitbit. And who can't afford to lose a few pounds? So I'm considering, I have been reflecting on, I'm considering this morning God's purpose in my life right now. What does it mean for me to live my life on purpose? What does it mean for me to live my life on God's purpose? And of course, I this passage immediately came to my mind when I was thinking those thoughts. And it's a wonderful thing in my own life, having reached the age that I'm at, and you know how I harp on you and appreciate the challenge Mike came up with to do your devotions daily, to get into the Word. And as I look back on my life since coming to Christ at the age of 16, when I turn the pages of this book, I'm like turning the pages of some history in my life. It's like, oh, I remember, you know, reading that for the first time. I remember how, you know, studying that and getting into that, and how God has been working that into my life so that I have a spiritual history of my life when I turn the pages of this book. And what that does for me is it helps me to define all that much more clearly the purpose I have in my life. This is not an easy subject to talk about altogether. And it isn't just people who are without Christ who suffer from not feeling a sense of fulfillment in their lives, of meaninglessness, and at times deep depression because of those kinds of things. And depression, of course, is triggered by many things. And again, it isn't my intention to talk about depression someday. I think it'd be a good thing to talk about. But talking about purpose, but it's related. Because when you don't have a sense of purpose and there's just an aimlessness about you, it unsettles a sense of fulfillment in our lives. And you know, one of the things that keeps me in love with Sandra is that I know of her commitment. Billy mentioned this morning, commitment on his brain. And I know that the purpose for her life is not to live for me or what life can do for us. But the purpose of her life is to live for Christ. The purpose of my life is to live for Christ. So all of the stuff in between that happens to unsettle any kind of sense of fulfillment is mitigated by the sense of fulfillment that we feel in our relationship with Christ. That's very real. That's very real. And it's not always easy to come by, but it's very real. And I think that, Patty, you can feel that this morning. As much as your world seems shaken right now, you have something in you that cannot be shaken. And at times like this, we lean on that, do we not? At times like this, it isn't so much that God strengthened my grip on that, but we recognize that his grip on me cannot be released. And for that, we're grateful. For that, we feel something that defies how it is that we ought to be feeling. My life is in pieces right now, you know. And so all of those things speak to us in more about purpose. I am considering God's purpose for my life, and I'm inviting you to consider God's purpose for your life right now. wherever you're at in your family, at work, in your own personal life, what's going on in your life, to consider God's purpose. And I want to say some things that hopefully can help us in our consideration of God's purpose. Okay? God's purpose for our lives. Taking it from Ephesians chapter 1 and God's plan for our lives. And so here's the first thing. You say, as I'm asking you, here are some things that go into our consideration that I'm doing in my life after, you know, walking with the Lord some 40 plus years. And I say to you that, and I'll just say it, because as I say, I'm trying to weed through some things myself, even though I'm not, I'm dealing with some things. It's like I have this gnawing inside of me that I'm still not hitting it. I'm just not there. Now, I think some of that restlessness will never go away, will not go away until that day. Because there is that reality of this place is not my home. This is not our home. So there is that. But there's something more going on within me. And so I continue, God, what is your purpose? And this is the first thing. What are some of those things that ought to go into our consideration as we talk about how it is that God has tailor-made a purpose for my life? What is it? Here's the first one, okay? Ask yourself the purpose question. That's the first thing. Ask yourself the purpose question. What is the purpose question? What is the purpose question? Simple. For what purpose am I living? There it is. Here's the first thing. For what purpose are you living? Why are you living? What's the purpose? Not how's important. But man, you get the why down, how comes after. But why? Lord, you got to ask yourself, for what purpose am I living? You know, someone has said, if you aim for nothing, you'll hit it every time. And so, you know, I have to look at these things, and I would encourage you as we unfold these things, we talk about these things for our consideration, that these things need an answer. These things need answers. Here's the second one, okay? Ask God the purpose question. So the first one is ask yourself the purpose question. The second one is ask God. God, what's your purpose for my life? That's simple, isn't it? If he created me, redeemed me, has invested himself to give me his Holy Spirit within me, then God, what is it that you saw in me before the creation of the world and fitted me for? God, what is it that you have tailor-made me for in life? Ask God the purpose question. And, you know, there are many other spokes to that hub that we can talk about. For instance, you know, where do I find that? As I already intimated to you that I have found that in the Word, His Word, Him speaking to me. And it has brought a definition of purpose to my life. He speaks to me. God speaks to me. And I hear His voice by His Spirit. There is this discovery in life. You know, life is such that you know, it's not like as you're living life, oh, man, this is all so crystal clear. Isn't it usually after you journeyed a little while and take a look back and say, ah, You know? Ah. And the thing about doing this on purpose is that you don't ever want to reach a time in your life, a place in your life where you look back and it's like you don't have a lot of in front to go yet. You know what I'm saying? You catch what I'm saying? And so there's discovery here. The journey of God's purpose. It is a journey for us. We speak about it that it has become almost cliche to where, like living next, across the street from the train tracks, as I did. Did you hear that train go by? It's like, what train? You get used to it, right? And it's like we don't ever want to get used to this discovering of God's plan and purpose that I am becoming what he has destined, what he's always meant for me to be. That's his purpose in my life. So much more we can say about that. But I hasten to the last one. But before I do, as we talk about this, God, what is your purpose for my life? I'll never forget Sister Rodriguez was her name. Was she still alive, Melody, when you were in school? Ruth Rodriguez? No, she was dead. I think she had died. But Sister Ruth Rodriguez, she was a single lady. She loved the Lord. She was one of my teachers at Bible school. Oh, she was one of yours. Oh, that's the class you fell asleep in, isn't it? Yeah, it is. Everybody left the classroom. Melody had her head down on the desk. They just left her there. But anyway, Sister Ruth. And I remember her fondly in her teaching. And one of the things she said that I picked up on when I was a kid in Bible school, just turned 18, sitting in her class. I forget the context. I forget even what the class was. But she said, she gave to us a prayer to pray. And the prayer was this: God, prepare me for what you have prepared for me. Now, I've adopted that as my own. And so as I have, asked God the purpose question, okay, God, what's your purpose for my life? The flip side of that is, God, prepare me for what you have prepared for me. God, you have something prepared for me. Now, we speak about these things and we can see the whole picture as we speak in generalities. What God has purposed for me is that I am like Christ. What God has planned for me is heaven. What he has prepared for me is a place in heaven. We can only hope, Bill Tucker. But the thing is that he has. And so we speak in these big picture ideas of his purpose, to be like Jesus, I'm going to heaven. And then we have to piece together the pieces to that puzzle. We got to find them, right? Now, if you ever put together a puzzle of, a zillion pieces, that you hunt a lot to discover where the next piece has got to go. And I want to suggest to you that yeah, it can be like that sometimes. God, and so we pray. And so we pray. God, prepare me for what you have prepared for me. So that there is a sense of, wow, you know what? What's going on in my life right now? Man, I don't see the big picture right now. It's obscured, perhaps. I'm not getting it clearly. But whatever it is, this piece right here is preparing me. It's going to fit. God is making it fit into what he has prepared for me. Wow. Prepare me, Lord. And then the last one. And I want to say, this is the last one, but I guarantee you there are more than three. And these are just three that I pulled out, that there should be a fourth and a fifth to really round things out. I almost don't like stopping with this third one, because it's a tough one, the third one. It really is. And I think that you'll identify with this one, and that is this. The third one is, when it comes to God's purpose, got to make a potty call. Potty trip, rather. Is be prepared for adjustments. Be prepared for adjustments. I love talking with some young people who have embarked their first year of college. And then you talk to them their second year, their third year. And it's like they've changed majors 15,000 times, right? Now, some of them don't. They stay on task. They know. But, oh, man, I went to seminary with a good friend of mine who was somewhat like that. It depended on what prof he had to what he wanted to finally end up in ministry. If the prop was, strong in missions, well, he was going to be a missionary. If his prof was, strong in teaching, he was going to be a teacher. If it's there are in the purpose of God, it's like there are adjustments to be made. First of all, none of us, you may have plans for what's going to happen after church, right? But those plans are tenuous at best. Stuff happens, right? Stuff happens. Have you ever looked back on your life or gone through an incident and said, "Boy, I never expected this"? How much of life is made up of "I've never expected this"? Such is the nature of life, And so when it comes to God's purpose in our lives, it may seem like, and this is important to get. I'm sorry if you're not getting it through the sound of my voice. If I'm putting you to sleep, I can only hope that it does register a little, because this will help you. And if you don't get it, I don't care, because I'm helping myself this morning. Well, I do care, but I'm helping myself. That there is, God is never, let alone indifferent, but he's never arbitrary. Never. That just happened. Even if it does just happen, he's able to fit it into what he's tailored. He's the cosmic tailor, and he is able to fit it into our lives. For, what's it say? For what? For what? What does it say? For our good. And so there are adjustments. There are adjustments. I haven't even gotten to the best part yet, the most difficult part of this. Be prepared for adjustments. Because when it comes to these adjustments, what I mean to say about these adjustments is that they will cause, these adjustments will cause conflict in your life. Coming to terms with God's purpose for your life will bring you into conflict. May bring you into conflict with other people. They won't understand God's purpose for your life. And then there are those internal conflicts. And I'll be honest with you, or not honest with you. I don't mean to say honest. I'll be transparent with you. I'm in an internal conflict right now with God's purpose for my life. Because having come to the age of 62, I'm surprised that this is where I'm at 62. I certainly had other expectations for my life. And I'm in a conflict right now. I'm struggling. I really am. And so it will. And I'm brought to Jesus' struggle with the purpose of God for his life in the garden. How did he pray? How did he pray? This is where the conflict happens in our lives. There will be an internal conflict over what you want and what God wants for your life. There will be. And coming to terms young people with the purpose of God, the will of God for your life. There will be an internal conflict. There will be a conflict. You will be brought into conflict. What God wants and what you want. Now, it's not everything in life is like that. In other words, I feel excited and happy about and engage in what God wants for my life. I'm right there with it. You understand? Not everything is like that. But there are those things. Like they were with Jesus. He was in such conflict with what God wanted for his life. The scripture says he was in such agony that his perspiration turned to blood. You talk about agony. And there are those kinds of things that happen in our own lives, in our lives, when it comes to the purpose of God for our lives. You know, we have this idea about, well, this is going to be hunky-dory. I'm doing God what God wants for my life. You know, the ladies have just read the book, and we're going to be looking, watching the movie, you know, Through Gates of Splendor, and it's like those five missionaries doing God's will for their lives, and then they get speared by the very people they're trying to reach. Leaving behind wives and children, young children. You know. Woo. And so what I want to say about this is be prepared for adjustments is, you know, there's the conflict between what God wants and what I want, and that purpose is bittersweet. It's bittersweet. And it's an adjustment that involves the cross, that involves the laying down of our lives to not my expectations, but what God expects, you know. And coming to terms with that in our lives. And that's the place that I'm at. And, you know, it's been building Y62. I'm not entirely sure. I guess because, you know, you live enough years of your life and you look back and you say, man, I thought by now I'd be this or have that or do this and have done that. And it's like no check marks there, you know. Now, the good news is there's still I'm still alive and breathing to put a check mark there. Amen. You know, still go for it. Just saw the movie of, anybody see The Darkest Hour? Darkest Hour, Winston Churchill? Forget about Return of the, whatever he is, Star Warrior, whatever. Forget about that nonsense. Churchill was fantastic. I just read the book about Winston, the last line, and the movie was spot on. Fantastic. But the guy's in his 60s, and he becomes prime minister not once but twice. In his 60s. There's hope for me. You say, are you aspiring to be president? Well, thank you. And so I submit this word to you this morning. How to live your life on purpose. God's tailor-made purpose for your life. And so let's stand together, and I'm asking you to join me to committing our lives to God's purpose. Young people, to committing your life to God's purpose. Lord, what do you want for my life? Lord, what do you have for my life? Lord, what do you want? What's your purpose for me? What's your plan for me? And so consider these things, will you not? Consider, as we're flipping into a new year. As you're flipping into a new year, consider what God's purpose is for you right now. So, Father, here we are before you in your purpose, in your will, in your plan, and in your destiny, as it were, for our lives, that you would make crystal clear to us the steps that we're taking, that we need to take, that we would stay in stride, in step with you. I pray in Christ's name, we give you thanks. Amen. God bless you.